I say good evening to everyone, those on the call. We appreciate you being on, especially those who may be visiting us, not members of the Church of Christ. You're very honored being with guests of the audience. We pray you will become a member by being baptized for the remission of your sins, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the Lord will add you to the only church you read about in the Bible, that is, the Church of Christ. If you're on the call this evening, visit with us from other congregations. We do appreciate you, too, being on. We pray this afternoon's lesson will be a blessing to each of you. Have a good time on this morning, and good to see some we haven't seen in a while. And it's good to be back at the house of God. This afternoon, the Lord sustains me. I mean, it's dealing with another study from the book of Psalms, which I love studying Psalms and getting practical lessons in it. This particular one, I'm doing it because I think we all understand when things are going on around us, we need to know that God is going to be there for us. He's going to sustain us. That word sustained in the original language, to lean upon, to take hold of. God will take hold of the situation. He leans upon the situation. He's established in that situation you're going through. You have to know that God is there. He's going to stand fast. He will sustain us during the times that we need him. Psalm, the third division, is a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. And that's what you read in your Bible, the heading of it, that he fled from Absalom. And David had a really dysfunctional family. One of his sons raped his daughter. And Absalom, man, was a beautiful, handsome man. Bible talks about it in 2 Samuel 15. I encourage you to go over there and read that about Absalom and all he did. But he came up for 40 years or so. He went along trying to get the people, win the hearts of the people. He eventually did win the hearts of the people of Jerusalem, Israel. And he was trying to take his daddy's kingdom. Imagine. It's a sad and tragic story when a son tries to usurp authority of his father and takes David's kingship. David had to run. He saved his life and many others. But when David fled, Absalom had built up such an army, he started to conquer Jerusalem. I mean, can you imagine, though, your own child seeking to take your life and how that would do you mentally? Can you imagine your own child bringing an army against you as with David? And many of the Psalms that David wrote, he wrote about them at times when he really needed God. And he shows us through the Psalms that God is there to help us, to sustain us, for us to lean upon, to take hold of a situation. And the Bible teaches us that whatsoever thing was written aforetime, Romans 15:4, was written for our learning. So this is all for our learning, something we have to go back to the Bible. And let's go back now to Psalm, the third division, and see what we can learn from this particular Psalms. And the first thing, that point I want to make, is that the Lord sustains us when many are against you. You know, a lot of times people are not with you. They're not with you. Be against you. In this case, it was his own child was against him. He built up many to go along with the wrong that he was doing. And so David said, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many, he said, there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him. In God, Selah. Those who troubled David increased in number. For years, Absalom had doing all this stuff behind his daddy's back to take control of that kingdom. He wanted to be the king. And so Absalom went after the kingship. And there were so many people saying, man, this is going on in David's life. There's no help for him. God is not with him. And that may be crossing your mind. If things are going wrong, people against you, you have family issues going on, it just seems like, where is God at? Where is God at in my situation? there anybody on the call going through some things in your life? And you just wonder, am I doing something wrong? Or where's God at? There are so many that went on the side of Absalom that the people were really saying, I don't even know if God can help David in this situation. The Bible teaches us, brothers and sisters, that we're going to have to go through some trouble. That's one of the things we've been talking about quite a bit on Wednesday night as well. You got to build your faith up and build up what you need to sustain you during the difficult times. And so James writes in James 1, verse 2 and 3, James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. There's always a purpose in God's will for us when we go through tribulation, but it's not something we can avoid. It's going to happen. And this is troubling David. It's something going on in his whole, everything going on around him now with Absalom, his son whom he loved. He loved Absalom. And so David is going through some trials. Now, the Bible said in Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter to the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. And 1 Peter 4:12, Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. The first point I'm making here is that there are going to be trials. As children of God, we're going to have those tribulations. They're coming. It's going to be strange things happen. This has to be strange today for his child to be doing this. Anybody got a child of doing things? Why would you do that to your own mama? Why would you do that to your own child, to your own dad? Why would you do them wrong? That would seem strange. But it's a trial. It's just, if you got a child that's gone astray, perhaps, or that child just, you taught them right, and now you know that you don't know what they're doing or what's going on with them or why they're acting like that. That's tribulation. That's part of the strange things that can happen to us. Fiery trials can come from our own children. But the Lord sustains us during the tribulation. Second point, verse 3 and 4. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of the holy hill. Here's David. David in the Psalms, during the time his son was doing what he was doing. He started to talk to the Lord. And he was telling the Lord, Lord, you are my shield. David was in a fight with his own son, and his own son was trying to get him killed. He needed a shield. And David, being a man after God's own heart, knew that the only shield he needed to sustain him would be God himself. A shield, brothers and sisters, something that protects you from the oncoming arrows or the swords in war at that time. It protects you from the flying swords or arrows. You put it in front of you. This is what David meant. But notice this. It'll stop the arrow, but they're going to still be firing at you. And they're going to make that application to us today. You know, we're going to have to fight in this life. You're going to have to go through some things in this life. And God will be, he'll sustain the shield for you. But that's not going to stop people from trying to fire at you. It's not going to stop the devil from trying to take you down. It's not going to stop you from being tempted to sin or going through trials. Dark on everything. Remember, so we, trials dark on everything. We might not understand it. We don't understand. But who's our shield? David understood this. The one that's going to sustain me is my shield. He said, you're that protector. You're going to protect me. I know the swords are coming. I know the arrows are going to be shot at me. David knew. The one who could protect him was God. What an act of faith. What a thought of faith. It did not stop Absalom from doing what he was going to do. Being the shield didn't stop Absalom. It protected David. He was David's shield from Absalom's attack. And David didn't see God as his shield. Do you see God as your shield? David said, he's my glory. He said, David is my glory. That Hebrew word literally means the weighty one. He's going to take on the weight. It was the Lord to whom David gave significance and meaning for his life. His whole protection. Who's going to sustain him? Who's going to be there to hold him and protect him? It would be God, he said. So David, you see how he's dependent on God. And then he said, and the lifter up of my head. David was obviously down about this. I don't know many parents that wouldn't be down when they knew your child was against you. But David understood the one who could raise his head, who could get him up. He knew God was able to lift him up. He was a lifter. David said the Lord lifted his head. So we know his head had to be down. And maybe somebody on the call today, so you're going through something and your head is down. And you're down and out about the situation you're in. But I'm here to tell you, God can lift you up. That's why you got to look up. You got to look up. Come on. Look up to the hills. But what come at your help is going to come from the Lord. Anybody on the call today need a shield. Need to know God is your glory. Anybody on the call this afternoon who's a lifter up, who needs to be lifted up, may I recommend God. Well, may I recommend you look to God to lift you up, to get you back on solid ground. May I recommend Jesus as the one who calls you to glory, who says, come unto me all in the labor and labor, and I'll give you rest. Anybody need their head lifted up this afternoon? Lift up your head before God. Lift it up. God will be there for you. David trusted in the mercy and grace of God to raise his head up again. You may be down, but God can bring you up. How you do that, brother? When you put your faith and trust in God, he will lift you back up. He will sustain us in times of trouble or even going through difficult times. It may not be your child or something like this is going on, like going on with David. But there'll be times when things in your life, maybe you just sick. Maybe you've been going to the hospital. Maybe there's other things going on with other people in your family that are sick. Maybe you're a caretaker. Maybe there's something going on that you're trying to get through. You were going through a difficult time in your life. Finances. Difficult time with your job. Difficult time in life. And your head is down. David said, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. Why you do that, David? I cried unto him because he's my shield. Huh? He's my glory. He's the one can lift my head back up. I'm down because of my son. And I want to say to all of us, we got to cry to the Lord. Sometimes we just got to cry out to him. Yeah, he sustains us when we cry out. He said, I did it with my voice. And he heard me out of the holy. David knew. Who was listening. You know, when you're going through things and you trust in God and put your faith in him, you gotta do it with your own voice. It's you and God. It's you and God doing the surgery. You and God doing the recovery. It's you and God doing the trial. It's you and God doing the tribulation. It's you and God. And God can be your shield. He can be your glory. He can lift up your head when it's been down. But cry to him. Cry to him. He sustains those who cry with their voice. And David assures us, and you know what? God heard me. He heard me out of his holy heel. Because many afflictions are going to come on us as children of God. The psalmist writes Psalms 34:18. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Who is the great deliverer? Out of our afflictions, David said, when I was afflicted, I went astray. But you know, sometimes the Lord, when you're going through afflictions, it can cause you to leave the Lord. It can cause you to leave the righteous. But David said, many of the righteous are afflicted, but the Lord delivered them. See, you can be afflicted in this life and know that no one in your heart of hearts, God is going to get me through. It's hurt, Brother Brooks. It's painful. I don't want to go through this. It's hurt me. It's hurt me to have my marriage torn apart. It's hurt me to have my life torn apart. It's hurt me through the trial I'm going through at this time of my life. But Jesus said in John 16:33 to his disciples, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. He said it to them, be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. Jesus told his disciples, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Don't all of us got to realize it's going to happen. But God's grace is sufficient. We have to humble ourselves. When you're head down sometimes, you need to be lifted back up. James said in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. What was David doing when he said, but thou, Lord, I see him from thee, my glory, my lift of my head. I cried to him, he heard me. David humbled himself. He knew the only one that could take care of the situation with him and Absalom would be God. So he sustains us when we cry out to him. Number 3, verse 5 and 6. I laid me down and slept, David says. I awake. The Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. They have set themselves against me around about. And David was saying here, I laid me down and slept. And I woke up. So what are you saying, David? I was able to sleep with peace. Even though I knew all these people were against me. Even though I knew Absalom had a conspiracy to try to take the kingdom. Absalom was trying to get his own father killed. David said, I could still sleep. He said, I laid me down and slept. And I wake up. You know, when you lay down at night, that's a vulnerable time. You don't know what's going on around you when you sleep. And many have difficulty sleeping at a time like something like what he was going through. But David did not have. He didn't have no sleep issues. He was able to lay down and sleep and wait. And what he basically said, when we trust God, brothers and sisters, and when we have our faith in the Lord, you may be going through stuff in life. But when you know that God is going to sustain you, when you got that in your head, that God is going to take care of me in some kind of way, you know who, when you lay down, who's watching for you. You know who's going to wake you up. It'll be God. Why? He sustains us. God is there for us to lean upon, to take hold of, to put in his hand, the situation. And that's why he was able to sleep. Anybody on the call not able to sleep because of the situation you're in? May I recommend you to put more trust in God. David credited waking up to God. He credited to God to watch over him that night. At night when he lay down, even though thousands of people, verse 6, he said, was against him. Yet David says, he did not fear going to sleep. No fear had come to him and denied his rest. David would not be afraid of those 10,000 plus people that he mentioned. And I'm just saying this to all of us. Fear is a great enemy if we permit it to go unchecked. It will destroy us. Fear will destroy us. You fear is something that we fear, and it leads to worry, as we've been talking about, the worst outcome. But David didn't think of the worst outcome. David conquered his fear with his faith. And that's how we sleep. That's how we lay down. This is how we trust God. You can conquer fear by faith. And that's what David did. The result of faith will be that we face every situation we get into with courage. We face it knowing that God will sustain me. I can lean upon him. God will take hold of the situation. God will establish it. He will set it in place. So trust, brothers and sisters, in God and friends brings a sleep of peace. In Psalm the 4th division, verse 8, by records, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. See, this was David's mindset. Many of the Psalms written by David. He said, here's why I can lay down and sleep. But how many of you on the call sleep in peace at night? Many people fear dying. You feel down, and there's something in your life ain't right, that you know that you die like you are. Your fear is because your life is not where it needs to be. And you need to get it right with God so you can sleep with peace. Solomon writes in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 24. Solomon says it like this. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. And see, when you got your trust in God, and you know God is your sustainer, I know you may be wondering about the test result that you took last week, and you haven't got the results you took a few days ago, and you can't sleep. But here's what we should be. Here's what we should be in our Christian life when we walk by faith and not by sight. Is that we should be in sleep at peace, because God sustains us. God has been there for you. He's been there for you through the thick and thin. God has been there for you. If you think back, he's been there for you all through your life. I want you to trust in him so you can have a peaceful rest of sleep. Get your sleep to be as sweet as Solomon said. In Psalm 46th division, David records in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. It's like, well, no matter what's going on, no matter how much of shaking is going on in the world, David is saying, the refuge is God. The strength is God. Our help comes from God. Our refuge comes from God. Our strength comes from God. Our help comes from God. Is this a faith building lesson? Absolutely. This is what we're saying. God sustains his children. He sustains all things. And you should consider yourself blessed, as I said this morning, for being a Christian. Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's before all things. In him all things consist. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said in Revelation 14, 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yea, said the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow him. And see, God is going to bless us. And we're blessed when we hold the God's unchanging hand. And God is going to do his part. But he wants us to put our trust in him. Amen. Verse 7 and 8, as we close. This one I say, the Lord sustains us with action. So God moves in his time. God moves the way he wants to move. But he moves. He sustains. He's active. He's active in your life if you're a child of God. David said, arise, O Lord, and save me. Well, he's calling God out to God, save you from the situation I'm in. Anybody need to ask God to save you from the situation you're in? David didn't have no problem. Don't have no problem in your prayer to ask God to save you from the situation you're in. Then he said, notice who he identified. He said, oh, my God. He said, that's very personal. It's just him and God. It's him and God and Absalom and all of them armies against him. But David said, oh my God. So he personalized it. He said, here's why I know God. Thou hast smitten all my enemies up on the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the only God. David said, I know I call God because I know God can take care of enemies. He can smite them on their jaw. He can break their bones, the teeth. Had broken the teeth of the ungodly. See, God can deal with the enemies. God can deal with those who are trying to hurt you. God can deal with the things that are going on in our most desperate hours that we need to be saved. Not always enemies that you got to be saved. It's other things that's coming our life. You make this application. It's other things that can break you down. Some people broke all down over divorce. Lives torn apart. Marriage or failure. Your home is a desperate need of God to save them. You don't know somebody dealing with something on the call. Let's see, you desperately need to call out to God. So, oh my God, save me. Save me from this situation. You know what God can do. You know his power. That's what David did. He knew the power of God. He could take care of anything. He could take care of anybody. And then he said in verse 8, watch this now. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. You know, the only person who can save us from situations, the one who can really save us, is the Lord. That's what he means by say, salvation, not necessarily being saving me. So, saving you from a situation, saving you from a murder, saving you from depression, saving you from going through tragedy or get through a loss of a loved one or trauma. God can do it. Well, he's able. Why is that? Why is that, brother? Because God can sustain an action. See, sometimes we got to understand, God get us through it. Brother Robert Smith did a wonderful job this morning. Challenging us, do we live in a way where we lose a friend and loved one? They saw God in us. They saw what we were doing. And they recognized that our salvation, we had to be children of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And so we got to know who it belongs to. We got to take every opportunity to do it. Because there are going to be times when we go through things in our lives. It's important I'm trying to make here with the lesson this morning. He had lost his brother recently. But yet, he had to have that loss to get the lesson he's taught today. In a way he taught it today. Had something to do with the loss. I mean, he blessed us through a lesson. I mean, why did God send us through things such as losses and loved ones, losing loved ones, people we love, or tragedies? So why good things happen, bad things happen to good people, some people ask. But notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations. Notice that. He comforted us in all our tribulations. Same thing. David was dependent on God to bring the comfort to him so he could sleep. He went to tribulation. So then Paul in the New Testament says, God does that in all our tribulations. Not some of them, all of them. That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. By the comfort we were with, we ourselves are comforted of God. See, if you haven't gone through a particular kind of loss, or loss of a mother, you never had it before, loss of a father, you never had it before, loss of a wife, loss of a husband, loss of a child, you really can't comfort someone else in that situation because you don't have it. See, because God sent us through things to give us experiences. And when we have those experiences, you look back and you say, no, nobody but God sustained me. So when you know God sustained you, then somebody's going to be in your life. Somebody's going to be in your life that you're going to have to help them. You're going to have to help them through it. That's the whole purpose of the suffering that we go through. You know, and so God is our comforter. He's our sustainer. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, listen to this. Paul said there's a purpose for all this. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. By whom we have access by faith into this grace So we access in grace of God, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory. Watch what Paul says. He comforted us in all tribulations. But in the Roman letter, he said, Paul said, we glory in tribulations. Huh? We glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Watch this, though. That tribulation slows us down. We got to wait on God. David had to wait on God. When he's talking about there, that happened overnight. He was running for a while. I encourage you to go back and read that. But he had to wait on the Lord for deliverance. And watch verse 4. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. See, if we didn't have these particular tribulations or trials, then we would never have the experience. When you have the experience of losing a child, then there's hope. Why do I say, brother? Somebody gonna need to talk to you. So God said, hey, the Paul said, the purpose of the tribulation is to work your patience, to give you experience, and to give you hope. So you'll look back in life, and you'll know that it was God. Like David, you'll know it was God who sustained you. It was God who you listened upon. It was God who comforted you. It was God who took hold of the situation. That's why he was able to teach that didn't work. He had an experience that he had to have before. And all of us got those experiences. You may be able to call what a unique experience of your own. Something happened to you, and you had a near-death experience, or you had something else going on, and you look back on it, it was troubling. It was hard on you. It was hard on you. It was hard on your family. It was hard on the situation. I don't know what it is. But you look back, that was a trial. That was a tribulation. And now you look back on it, it's an experience. And in the experience, God allowed you to get an experience. But what you going to do with it? See, the intent of the experience is for you to use it to bring glory to God. Amen. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. As I close here, salvation, my brothers and sisters, is of the Lord. So this is a lesson about the blessings that come to God's people. To be blessed, to be saved from tribulation and trials, and looking back, knowing that God was there the whole time that you were going through your situation. And I know everybody on this call got a situation. How I know that, Brother Brooks? Because life by itself is a situation. Yeah. Life will present to us all kinds of things. Trials, tribulations. It can throw you curveballs. Things that you weren't ready to hear. Sometimes when the phone rings, there's going to be some information you just didn't know was coming. But that's life. That's life. That's why we're children of God. Because we know that God is the only one that can sustain us, can take care of us during these situations, during all of these situations. So, number one, I said, Lord sustains us when there are those who are against us. Number two, Lord sustains us when we cry out to Him. Number three, Lord sustains us with a peaceful, allow me to get a peaceful night's rest. The sweet sleep. It's when you know God will sustain you. And lastly, God sustains us with action. He moves on His children. His children understand. As God can save me from any situation, because He's my God, as David said, oh my God. And I hope you know that David said in the close of this lesson, in verse 8, thy blessings is upon thy people. Are you a child of God this morning? If not, you're missing out on this afternoon, rather. You're missing out on those blessings. You're missing out on what God can do in your life. You're missing out on what God can bring you through, what God can get you through, how he can bless you. You're missing out on all kind of blessings. And you don't have to do that. All you got to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God brought him to the world and gave his Son on the old rugged cross. He was there on that cross after being brutally beaten and mocked and spit upon. He was shedding blood. The Bible refers to his cloak, the vest he has on, as it had been dipped in blood. It had been dipped in blood. That's what the Bible calls it. Jesus was shedding blood, and that blood is going to wash your sins away in baptism. He went through the pain. He went through the shame. He did all of that. 6 hours on the cross. 6 hours on the cross. He was there. He was there for 6 long hours because he wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. They took him down off the cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he resurrected early one Sunday morning with all power in his hands. He gave the command to preachers like myself and others, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What is the gospel, Brother Bruce? The good news. The good news that Jesus suffered on the cross. He suffered. He stayed there long enough to save your soul. And it's your soul that needs to be saved. And you need to be able to sleep at night with peace. And you can do that by coming to the Lord. He's calling you today. Come to me, all you ladies and gentlemen, and I'll give you rest. That's the Lord calling. And he got up, he said, baptize him. Matthew 28:18. You can be baptized for what? Remission of sins, Acts 2:38. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1, and the verse of no cloud. So we go into baptism. You're buried with Christ by baptism. And under the water, the sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then when you come up, you take your first breath as a child of God. And you can't breathe under that water. But when you come up, you take your first breath as a child of God. Then the Lord adds you to the church. The saints are in the church. The saved are in the church. Acts 2:47. There's only one church in the Bible now. It is the Church of Christ. That's Romans 16:16. Paul says, salute with a holy kiss. The church is in Christ. So the church of Christ all over the listening audience today. Wherever you are, there's a Church of Christ, a congregation of God's people in your area. If you want to call, you're not from Houston area, you want us to help you, go ahead and email me, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we'll make sure we find someone close to you that can baptize you for the remission of your sin. Then Lord add you to the church. And then you leave. When you start living this life as a Christian, live it by faith. Know that God is going to be there. He's going to sustain you, and you can have him. You can rest at night in your sleep and be asleep and sweet. That sounds really good, doesn't it? How do you do that, brother? You hear the gospel, number one. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Acts 15:7. Believe it with all your heart. Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your sin. Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me. Matthew 10:32. And then be baptized, as I've talked about already, for the remission of your sins. And that's when the Lord will add you to his family. His family is known as the Church of Christ. And there you live faithful unto death, knowing that the Lord will sustain you. And for members of the church, maybe perhaps you've been through that. Maybe perhaps you've got experiences you never had before. Now you look back, you know the only God. You know it was him. You know he did. Maybe you're going through something right now. And I just need to remind you who got you through the last time. Same God. So just like David. Oh, my God. Just say it like that. Oh, my God. Say it. And he'll do it. He can do it. God has the ability to do it. He can sustain us. He gives us that ability to lean upon him. And he'll take hold of that situation. Won't you let God in your life today? Let him in your life. If you need prayer, let us know what it is. We'll pray for you. If you need to make a confession, if I start on your phone. Or if you want to call, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to be a Christian. I just want to be a Christian. You hit 5 star on your phone and give us your name. And we'll take your confession and we'll get you baptized. Amen? So with that being said, we're going to let our song leader come on. Get down because you're on the call. Hit 5 star on your phone and we will respond to you appropriately.